Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Three teams of international investigators have arrived at the site near Donetsk in eastern Ukraine, where Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 crashed last Thursday. The international community believe the plane was shot down by a surface-to-air missile, which was used by pro-Russian separatists who are in a conflict with the Ukrainian authorities for control of the east of the country. All 298 people on board died, and their bodies have remained at the crash site for 4 days. The site had not been secured. It had been looted and the debris had been interfered with. But last night, two refrigerated rail wagons with 280 bodies began the 12-hour journey to the eastern Ukrainian city of Kharkiv. The Dutch government has sent a plane to meet them and bring the bodies back to the Netherlands, where they will all be identified. Sabrina Tavernese from the New York Times witnessed the wagons leaving the town of Torres, and she described what she saw as she left by car.
We, interestingly, when we were leaving Torres after this sort of solitary, empty leaving of the train, we drove past an incredibly long and very heavily armed rebel convoy headed east on the same road that we were driving on. So as we were leaving Torres going to toward Donetsk, this long convoy was going from Donetsk toward Torres, so basically toward the Russian border. It had probably six or seven tanks in it. Big, you know, tanks, armored personnel carriers, probably, I don't know, around 10 or 12, and dozens and dozens of civilian vehicles, minivans, buses, all filled with rebels carrying guns. Clearly, they were going somewhere. I mean, it stretched down the highway for as far as the eye could see. At first, we thought something serious was happening in Donetsk, and the rebels were just leaving. But I think it was just a very, very big contingent troop movement of rebels out of Donetsk, and we couldn't really explain why. We videoed a little bit of it, and then one of their cars screeched up to us and threatened us and told us to put our camera away. So, we weren't able to talk to anybody, but it was a very serious troop movement.
Sabrina Tavernese there from the New York Times. Well, the Organisation for Security and Cooperation in Europe, the OSCE, have now got their monitors in place at the crash site, and they're overseeing the examination of the debris. OSCE spokesman Michael Bokyokiev said the parts of the plane had been severely altered.
I'm here at one of the eight crash scenes, the biggest one. And in fact, I'm standing just a few meters away from the tail section of the aircraft that came down. And just behind it are three representatives of Malaysian Airlines who just arrived to the site with us for the first time. There are understandably a lot of journalists here. And the security quality, if you can put it that way, is a bit different than yesterday when it was quite good. Secondly, we're observing that major pieces, and I'm looking at the tail fin, as I said, and then there's also the rear cone section of the aircraft. They do look different than when we first saw them. In other words, they've been cut into, and one main cone section has been almost split in half. And this is in addition to an observation we made 2 days ago that the cockpit section and the aft of the first class section, which is in about 2 kilometers from here, we observed uniformed men cutting into that with a diesel power saw. At that time, there was active body and body parts recovery, but we must say that we had been told that they had recovered some 35 or so bodies in that particular location, and that was all the bodies that had been found there. We have been privileged, if I can put it that way, to have been here for the first 3 or 4 days on our own, pretty much. We've been here for 3 months, so we know the lay of the land, and we have, you know, connections with people who hold sway here. But indeed, we are not professional crash investigators, and the time has definitely come for professionals to be here and do the analysis. We have now brought three different groups of experts: the Ukrainian experts from day one. Yesterday, the Dutch forensic experts accompanied us, and today, three Malaysian experts have accompanied us, and they have gotten in and out of this area without much trouble at all.
That was the spokesman for the OSCE, Michael Bokokyev, on the line there from Ukraine. We hope to hear from Donetsk in eastern Ukraine a little bit later in the programme. 193 of the people who were on board that flight were Dutch, and their bodies will be flown to Eindhoven and they're expected to arrive there tomorrow. Well, a short time ago, I spoke to Dutch MP Sjoerd Sjoerdsma. He's with the opposition D66 party in the Netherlands, and he told me the mood there today now that the bodies are at the start of their last long journey home.
Well, the first days after this horrible crime, of course, were filled with sadness, and our country was in shock. But that sadness was increasingly joined by anger at the treatment of the bodies, at the treatment of the crash site. And, of course, we're now relieved to at least see some of the bodies returning home. But we're very worried about the fact that there's still quite a few bodies left on the crash site, not on that cooling train. We've seen some positive steps, but I think sadness and anger are still very much on our mind.
How involved was the Dutch government in the final agreement to get this process moving? Because it seems that it was the Malaysian government who secured the agreement in the end.
Well, I think the Malaysian Prime Minister has been instrumental in securing access to the black boxes of the downed airplane. But when it comes to access and treatment of the bodies of the victims, the Dutch government and Dutch specialists have actually been instrumental, I think. I've heard Prime Minister Rutte just claiming at the press conference this afternoon that the Netherlands will indeed take the full lead on the investigation, whether it's forensics or indeed the identification of the body and or the criminal investigation.
Is that feasible, do you think?
I think, of course, we've all seen the horrible scenes at the crash site. Alcoholic beverages from the see-by-fly stores of Schiphol being emptied, passports of children being opened live on Russian television. Really terrible, horrible scenes. And as of late, I think the Australian Minister of Foreign Affairs indicated as much, that we've also seen willful destruction of possible evidence. So, of course, time is running out. The hours are ticking by, and we need to secure that crash site as soon as possible.
But already it's too late, surely. It's 5 days now since the crash. It has been severely interfered with. It's not possible to have a forensically clean crash site.
No, I think that's definitely true. But I think to make sure that there's that we do everything possible, that we do everything by the book, that we adhere to all procedures possible, we need to still pursue this course. Of course, when it comes to determining who's responsible for this heinous crime, or for determining who directly or indirectly supported them, there are also other means available. And in particular, I would like to refer to a statement made by Secretary of State Kerry on CNN, claiming to know that certain of the pro-Russian rebels were indeed guilty of the act, but also claiming that there was for sure indirect support from the Russian side to those who perpetrated this crime.
Russia, of course, denies that and will probably never admit that. So do you think Russia should be punished regardless?
We have as yet to determine conclusively who was behind this crime. I think our intelligence services are currently evaluating the available evidence. We'll have to await this. But I think for sure our government, but also my own party, Liberal Party D66, have come out and stated that when we determine who's behind this act, we can all available sanctions, all available measures will be on the table. So it's too early to say what those will be and directed against whom, but I'm pretty sure that in the next few days we'll see movement on that front.
What do you think they should be? I mean, we're talking about Russia here, and Russia is a major trading partner for the Netherlands. Are you talking full trade economic sanctions?
What I'm saying is that when there's conclusive evidence as to who's behind this, all options should be on the table, whether they are economic, whether they're financial, whether they're trade-related, whether they're personalized, as they've been, like the freezing of bank assets or visa bans, but also, of course, in terms of installing weapons embargoes.
And would you support that in D66? We had a journalist on the program yesterday who was saying that he was worried that economics may have gotten in the way of humanity on this story.
If we have conclusive evidence as to who's behind this, we will support those measures, yeah.
No hesitation, regardless of the economic impact on the country.
Of course, we have to keep in mind that this if we were to take economic measures, these will also have a negative effect on the Dutch economy. But I think we also have to realize that this horrible crime is in many ways a wake-up call as to what kind of countries we have to the east of the European Union, what their intentions are. And I fear that we have to look very cynically at them in the sense that their only interest is their own self-interest, and that the principles we hold so dearly within the European Union are of no value to them at all. And when it comes to these deeply rooted principles, I think sometimes it's indeed true that our principles prevail over economic or trade matters.
And back to the families and the loved ones of those who died, it is already an extremely painful time, only to be more so over the coming weeks. It's a national trauma as well, isn't it, for the country?
True. I mean, we're a relatively small country, 17 million inhabitants, and I think in one way or another, every one of us, directly or indirectly, knows someone who's on that plane. I myself knew someone quite well, a good friend of my friend's, a fellow candidate for parliament when I ran for office, a strong activist against HIV/AIDS. I think this is, I mean, everywhere I look, everyone I talk to has similar stories of grief, of personal loss, and of course also of great anger.
Dutch MP Sjoerd Sjoerdsma there. He belongs to the opposition D66 party in the Netherlands. It's 19 minutes past five.